Hey, hey, my fellow dream chasers, it's Princess Fizz here. Welcome to another episode of I Have a Dream Show, bringing you multimillionaires from around the world to hear their unique journeys to success, great business wisdom, free mentoring and inspiration. Now, if you're looking to boost your online presence as a small business owner and stand out from the noise, you have to check out my free 10-day course on how to create an amazing web TV show or podcast for any industry. Go to becomeamediapreneur.com and get instant access to the course, and I'll get you ready for launch within 10 days. If you've seen my web TV shows and love my makeup, check out Moonstruck 3D Fiber Lashes, which is the best-selling product by Unique, at ihaveadreamshow.com/beauty. And if you prefer to watch the video shows, then you can go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows, where there's a library of all the I Have a Dream shows to date. So now take out your notepads and enjoy the show. I've actually scoured the market and I thought, who should I bring on for this particular topic? And I've actually met this person in person, actually, a few months ago, I think earlier this year. And I thought he was just absolutely brilliant. You know, he's achieved so much just in this particular area. He's combined it with his business. And people just love him. And just having a few moments of conversation with him, I thought, right, okay, this is the person I need to bring on to the Dream University for him to actually share how it actually works and what the best way to do it. So without further ado, I'd love to welcome TG Thomas. Thank you so much, TG, for joining the Dream Show University.
Thank you so much for having me, Princess. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely brilliant. I love your work. And
Thank you.
Guys, the thing about this show, guys, this particular segment, you can actually ask questions, okay? So we've got we've got chat boxes below the video, and we've also got email. If you want to keep private or anything like that, you can actually email your questions. welcome@ihaveadreamshow.com. So I'll take your emails as we go along. But feel free to share the show as well, guys. If you find this will help your team or anyone that you know, benefit from how to sell on the phone, invite them now. You've got a few. But TG, the burning question I have, oh my goodness, is out of everything that you could have done online or offline or whatever in your business, you chose something that people get scared of. You know, whenever they think phone sales, they're like, oh my God, run and hide under a rock, including me, right? Why did you pick this particular skill set? Why did you pick this area to grow your business?
Well, I've been actually selling for quite some time. I've done actually, you know, face-to-face selling. I really enjoy phone selling, mainly because when I was younger, I've been selling for about, well, I guess close to 25 years now. I was always intrigued by what made people do what they did. I've always been a student of, you know, psychology, and me being obviously a consumer, I always was interested in interacting with salespeople to find out how they sold. So ever since I was very young, I've always been interested and intrigued by the entire sales process. Phone selling was very natural. It just worked out nicely because since I am in the home business industry, I love to work from home. I like to spend time with my family. And as you know, I love to travel. There's a lot of masterminds I go to, and I go with my family. So, you know, that's really the important thing for me, is actually spending quality time with my family, just being able to stay home. And when you do outside sales, it's not as easy to do that. So being able to work from the comfort of your home and providing value for people and really helping people make a decision that's a win-win, is something that really appealed to me. So that's how I ended up, you know, selling on the phone.
Excellent. And this idea for online marketers, network marketers, mm-hmm. kind of dropped this area, which is the most very important skill or mm-hmm. Thing that you should be having in your business. Where did this come from? I mean, I have to pick up the phone, you know, when I want to my clients, or if I want to progress business with them, it's natural for me to pick up the phone. Where did this idea come from that you have to be away from it?
Yeah, I think when the internet first started, people were thinking, oh man, this is awesome, we'll just automate everything.
Yeah.
One thing I found out, especially when you do high ticket sales, I focus on high ticket sales, and it's probably going to shock a lot of your listeners to to know that I can, I don't want to say easily, but it's almost as easy to have somebody send you $56,000 as just to have them send you $50. And a lot of times people think, wait a second, that doesn't even seem like it would make sense. But here's the thing with the internet. If you are doing internet marketing, it's easy to sell a $50 product in an automated system. I'm sure that you know from being a marketer online. But if you're trying to sell a $56,000 program, you're not going to just be able to have somebody click and send you that money. They need to talk to someone. They need to feel good about the process. They need to have their questions answered. And that's where I come in. That's where the way that I sell this, the selling process that I use, which I call the no pressure sales system, comes into play, because what you're doing is you're answering people's questions. You're guiding them. Even though everything is starting pretty much on the internet online, it eventually leads to a human contact where, people need to know there's somebody on the other side of the of the computer. There's an actual person that's there. So that's, I mean, it's lost that human contact is still a big part of business with the internet. So that's one thing that I try to teach my students, is that it's not that difficult. Just like you say, you just pick your phone up and talk to someone. There was a study done in at UCLA, and I refer to this in a course that I have. It was a study of 10,000 people, and they asked the consumer why they ended up buying from the person they bought from. And 55% of the people that responded to the survey said they bought because of the way the person walked. And they said 6% was product knowledge. So to me, it was always intriguing, because a lot of times people say, well, I have to know everything about everything before I can promote or start talking. And that, in actuality, that's not the truth. It's not product knowledge. It's really like confidence. Like when somebody walks, you're watching the way that they project themselves, their confidence. So what you have to do when you do phone sales is get all that projection from your voice and the things that you say. So it's very, very powerful, the words that you choose to use. But I always let people know that it's something that anyone can do. It's, you don't have to be an expert at the product. You do want to have, a good idea and good firm grip of what your what product or service that you're promoting, but you don't have to know everything. You just have to know, be able to articulate, help people solve their problems, and provide value when you do it.
Excellent, excellent. So, TG, tell us your first phone experience. What was that like when you actually?
What was it, my first what?
Yeah, your first phone call. I mean, what was that like? I mean, I know a lot of people probably now have never picked up the phone in their life, right? So, what are they to expect? What did you go through? What can they expect?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I still remember, yeah, first times I got on the phone, I was petrified. I was, because it's one thing to do face to face where you can talk to people and see their expression. The more senses you can engage, really, the easier the selling process is. So when you can get, smell, the touch, all that. When you're doing it on the phone, it's l really just off of what you're saying, your voice. So yeah, I was hemming and hawing. I would get objections because I wasn't providing value. So yeah, my first few times I flubbed, pretty badly. And what I do is I tell people, you just want to just start talking. That's where you just want to get off the couch and just, I know people have sweaty palms sometimes when you talk to someone. When you do it the first time, it just gets a little bit easier. And the thing is, even with the system that I teach, you really have to buy in. You have to believe it. You really want that. You truly want to help people. Okay, just like your show, how you're doing this to help people. That's really the main reason that you do it. You have a love for it. I've just met you and a few times I can just sense that you just have this strong feeling to want to help people. So I tell people, you want to help. You have to be in a situation where you're helping people. You can't be looking at someone as a commission, right? So salespeople sometimes do that. They're like, oh man, I have to get three more of these to hit my quota, or do this or do that. And consumers are intelligent. Consumers are smart, especially nowadays with the internet and how easily people can access information. So they'll know if you're just trying to get a quick sale or if you're really truly wanting to help them. So I always tell somebody when I'm coaching and teaching that you just can't technique your way into this sale. The things that I teach is based on a lot of integrity, you know, wanting to help the consumer. And if you do all these things, there's a process I show people to follow that literally when you're done your presentation, they'll be begging you to take their money if you do it the right way.
There's a procedure to do it. And obviously you've learned that over time. So you've got a course, haven't you, TG? We'll talk about that in shortly, where you've actually
came out of accident. I've had people asking me for a long time to put together a course, and I've just always been busy, doing something or the other. And then I like to spend time with my family too, so I don't want to take too much time to do some other things. So I had actually met a gentleman by the name of TJ Rolater, who was actually one of my childhood idols. I don't say childhood, probably our early 20s, I guess, but in terms of marketing, he was one of my idols. And I'd been following him for over 20 years. And he got a chance to meet me in Costa Rica at a mastermind that we were doing. And he had told me he had a phone team and how he had them do it with old school selling techniques. And I was telling him, well, you know, I don't know how well that's going to work because this is what I do. And he kept listening to me. He was like, wait a second, that stuff doesn't work. Being a nice guy and, you know, doing all those things. And then he actually went and started talking to some of his people and training them and doing some things. And he found that a lot of these things were really, really insightful. So he got a hold of me and said, listen, we need to get that information out of your head. We need to put it so other people can have access to it. So that's how the program came about. It's called the No Pressure Sales System. It really is about no pressure. It's about wanting to help people and just providing value. But again, as I said, it's something you really have to buy into. If you're just trying to technique your way into a sale, it's not going to work. But if you're like in network marketing, if you're in internet marketing, and you have a product or service that you're eventually have to get somebody on the phone to talk to, it's a good way to let people know what your product or service is and get good sales if you follow it, if you follow the system.
That's absolutely fabulous. Guys, we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go along. But there is a bonus that we've put together for you. It's five top tips, right? TG5
Talk. Yes, yes. It's just an exclusive for your listeners and watchers of your show. Yes.
So, so kind. TG, very kindly put this together. I'll give you details near the end of the show about it. You have to stay put, guys, for that link. Okay, so TG, okay, my burning question, okay. So from the way I've understood sales, I've had a bit of experience with cold selling, okay, when it came to selling gas and electricity. And what we're taught there, it was just a complete numbers game, you know, how like 100 people you call, 20 people will answer, 6 people will show interest, 3 will convert. I mean, how true is this when it comes to running a real business? I mean, I think people need the education that there are people actually with feelings and emotions and dreams on the other side of your phone. They're not just there to buy a product. They're there to
fulfill exactly
a vision, or they're looking right to play out of their situation. They're in a lot of pain and they're suffering right now, right? Would you say this is round true?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really espouse a lot of cold calling. And the main reason I don't do cold calling is I like to maximize using time. But because of the advent of internet and using opt-in pages and things where you can get people on a list, there's ways around it. In fact, I have a team of people that for my primary program, I actually coach on how to do it properly. And we never ever have to talk to people that are cold. But you're right, those numbers actually would be good numbers if you're cold calling, because cold calling, the percentage is very low. I always talk to people about one of the best ways to increase conversion is position yourself as an expert. Okay. When you're looked at as an expert in the industry, then you have a little credibility and then your message is a little bit better received. So the one to use is if Beyonce, you know, everybody knows Beyonce, right? So if Beyonce comes to you and say, listen, wow, your daughter's got a really good singing voice. I think she's got some potential. I'm going to put her in touch with my voice coach. Well, you're not going to say, well, you know, Beyonce, let me take give me the information. Let me just do some research. And no, Beyonce's telling you to use their voice coach. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm definitely going to use that voice coach.
You're already pre-sold on her.
Exactly. She's the expert, and you're going to take that guy And so what I do is with my team, I talked about how to using testimonials, using videos for positioning. You still want to deliver value. You still want to, you know, help that person solve their problem, but it's a lot easier when they look at you as somebody who is an expert. And I think when I talk to people that are maybe in network marketing or just starting out, they'll say, oh my gosh, I'm not an expert. I just barely know. I just started. But I always use what I call the 1% rule, which is if you know 1% more than the next person, you're an expert. You know, you're an expert. If you know a little bit more, you're an expert. It's always about how you position yourself. And that's what I always tell people. If you position yourself, or you give credibility, or you have somebody give you credibility, it changes the whole picture. And that's exactly the way. Like if you're walking into a room and there's a gentleman there and nobody says anything about this gentleman, and you walk in, you're like, okay, that's some other guy. But then if someone stops you before him and goes, oh my gosh, that is the president of ABC company. He's worth $10 million. He's this and that. But when you walk up to that guy, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, this is somebody special. Nothing has changed other than he's been given credibility. So when you have credibility given to you through videos, through testimonials, it just makes things a lot easier when you're working with your people. So that's just a part of it. There's a lot more obviously to the system, but that's just a part of getting your message heard.
Right. Excellent. Gigi, that's brilliant. Okay. I'm going to take one question. Okay. This question's coming in from Sonia. Very good question. She said, okay, as an internet marketer, I want time freedom. I don't really want to be on the phone. Is there a way around this? I think we're going to talk about this in a bit, Gigi, aren't we, about like leveraging or hiring other people.
Yes. Yeah. That's a really good question. I always tell people, if you don't want to be on the phone,
can we hold that question a minute?
Yeah, sure.
I want to quickly tell you what you just said. So, Sonia, just 1 second, I'll come back to that.
Okay.
I just want to ask you pre-framing then. Is this what we're doing, pre-framing? So online marketing has its place where you take them through the videos, you take them through the funnel, maybe a bit of surveying before they come to you? Is that something?
Yeah, exactly.
So how would you say the ideal process is for a customer to go through before they get to you?
Well, even with my, with what I do full time, I do some coaching, but I'm an active participant in the sales industry. So I do a lot of phone sales. So I have people that give me already sold individuals, and then I'll do work on with the other upgrades and upsells. But my entry-level coaches, I have them pre-frame themselves also. I have usually through the use of video. Videos and testimonials are truly the best ways to do any type of framing when you're doing phone sales. Okay, so what happens when I get involved is I do not even talk to people unless they've gone through a process. I have them watch a video. Then I have them do some, I have some documentation that I have them fill out, because I'm positioning myself as an expert. Okay. So I want them to understand that there's certain things that they're going to have to do before they even speak with me. And now this is not just to get them to do actions. It's cause I want information also. Right. I want to get information, but more importantly, I want them to have information about themselves, because here's the crux of what I do is I don't really sell as much as I get the individual going through the process to sell themselves.
I got it.
If that makes sense. Yeah, because that's the best salesperson is you, not me. Because the one thing that both of us should have in common is you, right? So you as the prospective client. The other thing that I hear is a lot of times salespeople like to talk about themselves, their company, and how great they are and all this. And, you know, most people don't care about that. They just care about what is it going to do for them, their future, their family. So I have them spend a lot of time talking about them. I want to know, but I want them to hear themselves. So they need to hear because the thing is, they have to understand that there needs to be a change that's made for your product or service to be useful to them. They have to realize there's a need for that. If they don't find out there's a need for, why are they going to buy it? Right. So you have to create that need by letting them examine their life, what they're going through, to see if there's something missing. And once they make that distinct, that connection, then it's that aha moment. And then when you present your offer, they're like, man, that's great. That's going to help me out of my situation. Because there's a question I ask during my presentation that I have 100% yes. I get 100% of the time I get a yes. No, 90, nothing. It's how you ask the question after they've talked about what their needs are that makes a big, big difference. So yeah. So
when they pick up the phone to you, what's their frame of mind at that point? What would you like their frame of mind to be at that point where you have your first conversation? So they realize that what they they're just looking for an answer to go ahead or looking for a solution. Is that about right?
Yeah, when I first get involved, if the credibility has been done properly, usually when they get on the phone for the first time, they're almost in awe. They're like, wow, this is T.G. Thomas. I'm getting an opportunity to speak with him. And, you know, I'll know if my coaches did the right job in terms of building them credibility. And then from there, what I do is, I'm not arrogant. I'm not nothing like that. I don't talk down to people, but I am a coach. I'm an expert. And that's the thing. When you are talking to people, you have to make sure that they realize that you are an expert or a guide with what you're teaching. Because again, people are going to buy from coaches, experts, and guides. You know, celebrity endorsers, all those guys, they're supposed to be experts in what they're pitching. So that's the way that I want to be perceived. But I want to listen to what they have to say. And I spend a lot of time listening. They've done studies on this. And when two people talk, usually about 40 to 45% of the time when two people are interacting, one person is trying to think of what to say. They're not even listening to the other person. They're just thinking about what to say. And the other 40 to 45% of the time, they're thinking about when they can butt in. So only about 10% of the time when two people are talking, is there any type of, listening going on. But when you're speaking to somebody, you want to be heard what percentage of the time?
Got it. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. Right. So I really spend a lot of time listening. I don't like to cut people off. I want to hear what they have to say because it's important to me that they're heard, and I want to be able to provide a solution. So I'm not really interested in the sale, honestly. And this is why I tell people they have to buy into what I teach, because I'm not really interested in the sale. If I do the right thing, if I hear them out, if they hear themselves out, and I guide them, the sale is going to be there to be made. I don't have to worry about that. Yeah. If I spend too much time thinking about the money I'm going to make or lose, then I'm not doing them a service. So that's why you really truly have to buy into the way I teach, because it's really going to help you out. It really does. But you have to buy into it, because if you don't, you're going to be waiting. Because when people hear when I close, they're very disappointed. Like, oh, I thought it was going to be some fancy schmancy, you know, close that you do. And it's really not. It's usually like, okay, here are the wiring instructions. Do you want to, you know, how do you want to send the money? It's nothing, because I do everything before that point to get them comfortable enough to speak about money.
Excellent, excellent. And these are kind of high ticket programs, aren't they, TG? I mean, we're talking thousands that people have to part from. So it can be, I think the process for a lot of people departing from money like that, they have to have a reason, or the value that you're giving has to be much more greater than the monetary value.
Exactly. So, yeah, absolutely.
So that's what you do. You kind of tell them exactly how the value is. You talk more of the value, how it's going to solve their problems. But first you have to be very clear of what their problems are, what their pains and frustrations are, etc., for you to actually say, look, you know, this is something that you should consider or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. And in fact, it's going to be in the five tips that I used that I'm going to be giving to your listeners and watchers, video watchers. I talk about something that I call like an equation, and it's V is greater than P equals S. And what it means is when you create more value than the cost, so value is greater than price, is when you get the sale. Yeah. So when I talk to people and they say, well, I'm not really getting that many sales, I have them go back and look at what they've created. And typically is because people usually have some kind of pain point. They have a threshold that if you do not create more value than where that they put that perceived value of that threshold to be, you're not going to get the sale. So when you, because I tell people, if you can buy something for $2, and think that you got taken advantage of, and then you can pay $10,000 for something and think, wow, you got a great deal there, right? So it's not always about the money that you spend, it's about the value that you attach to whatever you're getting. So yes, because I usually sell up to $54,000 on the back end, and I have people very eager to give me that money, mainly because I've created so much value that they cannot imagine being without the product or service. So I always tell people, don't get caught up in the numbers, just look at the number, but look what you can do to create value. And being marketers, when I'm talking to my team, I always say, listen, we split test ads, we split test headlines, all those type of good things. You need to split test talking to people. Yeah. You know, you need to try some things out. If it's not working, then you need to tweak it and change it, right? So when I'm talking to my team, I'm always talking about trying some things out. And if it's not working, then trying something else. You always want to split test and always figure out where you can add value to any type of interaction you're having with your with the potential customer.
Excellent. And the more you do it, the more experience you get, and the more you can identify yes. what kind you identify like a pattern, don't you? You kind of get to know people, how they work, and then you can kind of master your skills as well. So I love that. I love that, Gigi. So going back to Stella's question, we'll take Stella's question now. I think it's a good time for that. So Stella says, if I don't want to be on the phone all the time, which is fair enough. She wants time freedom, etc. She don't want to be lumbered on the phone, but she wants to outsource it to someone. So what kind of skills should she look for when outsourcing to someone? Can they be as effective as her getting on the phone?
Yeah, and that's a good point, because I tell people, if you're not passionate, because there was another as another mastermind that I'm a part of, and I was consulting with this young lady she's amazing, and she loves her product, and she's very passionate about it, but she doesn't like getting on the phone. She just hates getting on the phone.
Yeah.
So I tell people that if you don't like getting on the phone, or if you're not passionate about your product, you should not get on the phone. If you are passionate about your product, I tell people you should try getting on the phone and see how you like it. Because you're going to amaze yourself at what you can do. Really, it's about getting out of a comfort zone when you first get on the phone. And, you know, I would say just try it a few times just to see, you know, what you get out of the interactions. Now, if you don't want to get on the phone, period, for just say like that question that was asked, I think it was Stella, about leveraging, well, you want to make sure that the people that you're going to have calling for you understand things about your product. If they're product users, if they either have the service or product, if it's a physical product, they have that. That's even better, you know, because it's just hard to mask people that are actually owning a product and believing in it. But yeah, you want to have a script. You have some kind of script. Because I tell people, when you're doing phone sales, you really should have a script. You need something to guide you. You don't want to just haphazardly. You can make things flow, but it's so much easier when you have a script. So if you're hiring people to do something, you want to have a script for them to follow. Okay, wow. So that's very, very important. And obviously, we don't have the time to go over every little nuance of everything in phone sales. But you know, in the course that I do, which is a 4 audio series, I break a lot of things down, the questions, the way to ask them, and then people can formulate their own script. But the structure, pretty much, with no matter what you do, whether it's in the health niche, whether it is in Forex, whatever the product is, if it's MLM, internet marketing, the process is still the same. It's very, very similar. It's just, you just have to, you know, change a few things. But the script, the way that I always show people is you want to have a connecting part of your script, a discovery, a presenting, and then a closing part. So you want to be able to connect with people, then have them discover things, you discover things, they discover things, then you present. And this is the biggest area that I see people messing up, is they like to present before they discover anything. They're so eager to talk about their product. It's like, hey, here's the solution. Let me figure out if you have a need for it or not. You know, it's kind of done backwards. You always want to.
like the doctor giving you like a prescription, asking what's wrong with you. You don't even know what's
exactly
wrong with you, right. So yeah, exactly. All right, TJ, we've got two questions, if we don't mind taking them as we go along, because they're kind of related.
Sure.
Okay, sure. So does your course teach about pre-framing? This is from Thomas. Thank you, Thomas, for asking this.
That's a good question. I had to try to find out what I wanted to spend the most time on. So I don't really talk a lot about pre-framing. I do touch a little bit about it, which is about positioning as an expert. But really, it's exactly what I'm saying is, if you know what your product or service is, what I would suggest is getting testimonials. Video testimonials are really good. Written testimonials are also nice, but finding a way to connect yourself to that. So if it's a product or service that that you've already sold, then having users, product users, giving you a testimonial and putting it on video, that's the best thing to do before you talk to someone. If you make it part of your, and I know some MLMs and some companies don't really have you do a lot of internet marketing. In fact, it's just weird to me that some are just so adamant against you using any, and in fact, they'll put that into their terms and conditions that you can't market on the internet. So it's kind of interesting how that works, but you have to make sure you follow whatever, and if it's your own product, obviously you can do whatever you want, but if you're representing another company, you have to make sure that you go through the terms and conditions, make sure that you're not going against any of that. But if they have no problem with it, yes, I would say actively get video. If you go to masterminds, if you go to events for your company, get videos of people that have used your service or got something out of your coaching or insight that you've given them, and put it onto a video and then use that and put some testimonials in that. And before you start talking to new customers, you want to make sure that you can take them to that type of pre-frame where they get a chance to see, wow, okay, I'm talking to someone that has some credibility. Now, you can do everything that I teach without doing that. It just makes it more challenging, okay? Because usually when you're doing a type of sale, there's a certain amount of leverage that you're fighting. And anytime that you can gain a little bit within that, it just makes it a lot easier. So you can do it without it. It just makes it a little bit easier if you can pre-frame as an expert.
Excellent, excellent. Right. Thank you very much, Thomas, for that question. Okay, we've got Luke here. He's saying, is there any time you get frustrated on the phone? I think this is a really good question, because obviously sometimes it's your energy levels of that day as well, doesn't it? That comes through the phone. So sometimes if you're not quite in mind, people can actually pick that up and actually probably reject you just on that basis of the energy that they're getting from you. Is that anything to do with the process at all?
Yeah, I get passionate on the phone. I don't get frustrated. I got frustrated when I first started sales. It was because I was putting too much into the commission and the selling product. I've learned a lot, over 25 years. I don't get frustrated now. I get very passionate with people. I'll tell you right now, the biggest thing that frustrates me is when people want me to justify their reasons for not wanting to do anything. So if they keep saying that they don't have money, and then they want me to kind of give them that endorsement, I don't. So I get very passionate with people. I think it's good when people hear that. Like, I don't have refunds. I don't get refunds. I don't have complaints, things like that. I do have people say, wow, are you really into this conversation? You're really passionate. I'm like, yeah, I am, because I want you to succeed. I want you to do well. So when people say, well, yeah, these are all the reasons why I can't do this, that's okay, right? No, I tell people, I listen to what you have to say, but if you are trying to convince me that you're not, wanting to do this, and you're trying to convince me, well, that's not going to work. If you're trying to convince yourself, then it's something else. So I let people know that I'm listening. So a lot of times people are like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, no worries. But I listen to what my potential customers, future customers tell me. I take the time to listen to that, and I respond accordingly. So I'm not a yes guy. I don't get frustrated, but I do not buy into people's reasons why they can't do anything. Because when people tell me they don't have money, or which I really don't get a lot, I know a lot of people in sales get a lot of the money objections. I don't really get a lot. Every once in a while I get one, but usually when I'm done my business plans, 80-90% of the time people are ready to buy. You know, then it just comes down to where do we get the money from, and that's where I like spending the time helping people figure that out. So to answer your question, you do not want to get frustrated. You don't want to take anything out on customers because you think they're not buying from you because of something that they're doing. Usually when people don't buy, you need to self-analyze what you're doing. And it's typically something where you're dropping the ball. So I say, what I tell people is do not get frustrated at the customer, yell and things like that, because it is true. Your state at that time, you know, Tony Robbins talks a lot about state and, you know, being the right frame of mind and actually building people up to a certain state. A lot of people that sell from stage do the same thing. But I always talk to you about getting yourself out of the sale, so detaching yourself from the sale, looking to help that person and listening to them, spending time listening to them. Right. And if you can do those things, you won't get frustrated. You won't get upset. You won't get mad, because ultimately, if you do, you should be mad at yourself, you know, because there's something that you're not doing to provide the value to your prospective client.
Excellent. Thank you for that, TG. And I mean,
it's
taken you a while to kind of reach this stage. I mean, it's an expert level, right? So when people they're going to have a lot of kind of challenges and things like that. But if they go through your course, it will help them kind of narrow down as many mistakes as possible, because mistakes have to happen. That's the way you learn, right? The experience.
Yes.
But it's going to help them kind of cut back as many as possible, right?
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, you're not going to get to an expert status with really any system until you actually put it into use. It's kind of like swimming, right? I mean, I can tell you all day how it is to swim. Until you get into the water, you're not really going to know what's, oh my gosh, I didn't think it was like this. So, yes, you want to just get start asking questions and talking to people. The course is laid out really nicely because it's really unscripted. It's an interview format. I was saying earlier that TJ was one of the reasons, TJ Rowland is one of the reasons that we end up doing this product, because how it would have impacted his salespeople. I have one testimonial from the gentleman that said, who got the course for one of his sales guys, who just started out, he's a real nice guy. I just got a chance to talk to him very briefly. But he had not done high-level sales, and he just started implementing a few things. And within 4 days, he made $32,000 from not really, you know, doing that type of sales before. So if you can, you know, I mean, I've got part of it is just 10 objections that people get on a consistent basis that will just show you when you get these type of concerns from your customers or prospective customers, what you can say. So just implementing little things here or there should make an impact if you do it. And then the more you talk to people, like you said, you'll get a little bit more and more comfortable and more comfortable. And then when you get to the point that, wow, I really truly understand that, I just need to back off. I just need to get out of the way of the customer, ask the right questions at the right time, make sure that I'm letting them talk, make sure that I'm listening. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, TG. So, what about you, TG? I mean, when it comes to choosing products and services, mm-hmm. how important is the product and service to you as a person when putting it across? I mean, do you feel that you have to be passionate about it, about the products and services that mm-hmm. you put forward?
You mean me as a, if I'm selling something?
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
How important
yeah.
is the product and service to you as a person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I mean, I've heard both schools of thought that you don't have to be a product user, but I truly believe that if you're a user of the product, you promote it, it's just a lot easier for you to have conviction when you're talking to people.
Right.
Because you almost sound, I mean, I don't want to say fraud, but I mean, it sounds like when you tell somebody else all these things are great and then you don't do it yourself, you know, it's just so hard because you're just really being fake. And what I teach people really is about being real, you know. I mean, really what I teach people is how to have a good conversation. So when two people talk, you really want to listen to what the other person is listening to, right? I mean, that's ideally, it's a good conversation. So yeah. If you just have a nice conversation, you focus on what the other person's saying. I mean, I would use the example, like, you know, if two people are standing, or even three people are standing around a water cooler talking about their weekend, you know, a lot of times people will talk and they can't, man, when is this guy going to stop talking so I can tell him about my great week, you know? So they won't even listen. And when you're talking, you want people to listen. So really what I just teach and show people is how to listen better and how doing so, because if you do this properly, you're going to be able to come back and ask some questions that, you know, most people never ask them. Because most people don't want to go into depth, that type of depth. Most people just want to ask surface questions. Like, oh, how was your weekend? Oh, okay, great. Well, let me tell you about mine, where you can ask more questions. You could, oh, okay, you went to the Grand Canyon. Okay, who did you go with? How did you get there? What did you see while you were there?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So you can take any topic and give it depth. Most people never do. When you're in a selling situation, you're talking to people, you're wanting to make sure that your product or service is literally going to save them. Like if someone tells me, if they're telling me that they want to work from home, okay, and then they tell me, you know what, I just don't see my kids as much as I like because I'm sitting in traffic for an hour,
right,
both ways. Mm-hmm. Well, they're giving you information there, so you can give it a little bit of depth, but the depth you're asking is not just for you, it's for them to realize what their situation's like. Okay, so when you're sitting in traffic, Princess, for that much time, how does that make you feel?
Frustrated, like you're wasting time, you feel useless, like what you feel for,
When you say frustrated, what do you mean by frustrated? Do you see that? And that's what I do, and I just get to the more depth. So if you're able to spend less time on the road and spend more time, you know, playing with your children, how's that going to make you feel?
Yes.
So I go into depth like that, or somebody tells you that they want to lose weight. You know, if you're in the diet niche, if you're selling a diet product, and you do the same thing, you know, you say, you know, if they say, well, I mean, I like to exercise, but when I get home, my boss has me doing extra work, and you know, whatever they tell you, you just want to just give it to death and say, so how is that impacting your life? Are you getting a chance to spend time with your kids? Are you getting a chance to spend time with your wife? Are you getting a chance to you know, take care of yourself that you want to do? So you want to formulate questions that give these individuals a chance to really take a look at what their life is like. So then when you're presenting your service, then it's like, oh my gosh, this guy just listened to everything that I had to say. And now he's throwing me a lifeline. And that's why people end up buying, because they'll make that connection and they'll know that this person is listening and actually care about what they're saying.
Excellent. So the process is to kind of get people into an emotional, more of an emotion, like tap into their emotions. So like logically, because they say the perfect sales process is emotional buy, not a logical buy.
Yes. Otherwise nobody would ever buy an SUV, right?
Yeah. You kind of have to justify the buying. But if you're really saying, look, you know, this is going to heal a certain pain of yours, people can relate to that better, can't they? They can understand, and they see the vision of the pain relief. Would that be about right? Like, you know, you paint the vision to them, don't you? You paint the vision of a pain-free life rather than the pain that they're going through.
Exactly. If you remember what I was talking about, that UCLA study, only 6% of the people bought because of any type of product knowledge.
Yeah.
So, yes, logic really, I mean, what they say is people always buy on emotion and they justify with logic. That's typically the way the selling process is. The way that I show people how to do it leaves a good taste in people's mouth. A lot of times, you know, they have something called buyer's remorse. When you use like a lot of techniques and use hard closing, you know, you may get the sale, but then right after the sale, they're like, oh my gosh, did I really need that? What did I just do? You know, if you do it properly, then you'll never have to worry about that, because you're taking care, you're really listening to these individuals and help them take care of their problems. And they're really selling themselves. And that's what I always show people is the best way to do it, because you're not going to second guess yourself, right? You're not going to second guess the decision that you made. Whereas if you're forced to make it, then that's where the problems arise. That's where the refunds come and things like that. So it's It's all part of it, but yeah, it is really emotional state that people get into when they buy in. But again, you have to be able to help them. I mean, this really is like a superpower. I tell people it's like a superpower, which can be used for bad things. So that's why I always tell my students when I first coach them, I said, listen, what are you selling? What's your product? Because if it's not of high integrity, if it's not something that's going to help people's lives, and I don't like to work or teach people how to do things if they're going to use it for the wrong thing. Because like you said, that they're going to buy on an emotional state.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely brilliant. Okay, so right, so I'll take a couple of questions in a minute. One second, guys. One last question, I'll come back to you, I promise. Right. TG, when it comes to products and services, okay, so say for instance, I am selling water, like a special type of carbonated water, whatever it is. Now that water can be sold to a runner. It can be sold to a mum that's conscious of a child that drinks from the tap. It could be sold to different markets, segments, right? Or different audience, if speak. So do you determine that on the phone? Because I'm sure there's all types of people going for the same product that you're selling, but they've got different situations. They've got different needs. I mean, a single mother to a married couple with kids, or someone that's a bachelor, or they've got different needs, frustrations, and pains, don't they? They've got different circumstances. So, do you mold the way that your products and services are according to what they need, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, whatever their need, yeah, exactly. When you use actual marketing, I mean, you can target down and niche down whatever market you want to focus on through your marketing, like online marketing, where you use your squeeze page. When I actually end up talking to the person, I always go to what their needs are. I always try to find out why they're trying, what's their situation, why are they trying. Just one of the questions I'll ask is, when you actually went to check out my website or you saw that advertisement, what clicked for you there? I mean, what was it that prompted you to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to put my name down and want someone to call me on this? What was it? So I'll try to find out what it is that got them interested. Whether it's a weight loss product, whether it's Forex, whatever it is, I try to find out what their needs are from that question, and from there is how I figure out which way I'm going to go.
Right. Do you have this knowledge prior to them getting on the phone? I mean, do you know if they're a single mother, they've got kids, or they're like she's working non-stop hours or whatever? Do you have this knowledge beforehand, or do you find this on the phone?
I actually find it a lot. I mean, I like to talk to people and I like to listen to what they have to say, but there are some people that use these woo-foo forms where you can actually get them to, do a survey. I'm sorry, not a survey, just a questionnaire.
Yes.
And they can fill this information out. And then, but here's what I find out. A lot of times when people find those things out early, they tend to prejudge. They'll make a judgment as to what's going to happen before. So I don't like to prejudge people. I don't really care what their financial situation is. I will listen to what they have to say and then still make my presentation, then have them let me know if they can't afford it or not. I'm not going to say, oh my gosh, this guy, can't afford my product or service. I talked to this guy one time, and he had asked me if I could split up the product into 12 payments. He said, oh yeah, I don't have $2,000. Can you make it 12 payments? And I told him we can't do that. But literally, 3 days later, he was wiring us $24,000. So, you can't just make an assumption based off what you see on a piece of paper. So that's why personally, I prefer not to do that. But, sometimes people like to have as much information prior. I can pretty much get the information that I have during a conversation that I have with people. But if you need that to start off, you feel that's going to get you a little more comfortable getting on the phone, then yes, you can do that.
It's actually interesting finding out about them on the phone, though, isn't it? Like, it's nice to every conversation's different in that case. Everyone's different, everyone's got their different
All
settings.
right.
It's kind of fun to find out what's going on in their life, It's pretty awesome.
It is, and I mean, I've had people crying on the phone because they're not asked these questions, and they never really spent time thinking about it. They're like, oh my gosh, this is like really emotional.
Very
So,
different.
I mean, my intent is them not to make them cry. Obviously, my intent is to get them to really figure out what they're needing. Because here's another thing that I found out. A lot of times people don't know what they need. They don't know what they need. And that's why it's good to be a coach. It's good to be an expert. It's good to be a guide. Because sometimes people just don't realize what they need. So it's important that they have that self-realization, which is why I ask the questions and go as deep as I do with a lot of the questions that I ask, because I really want them to find out for themselves what it is that they need. Because if they don't know anything is missing, why are they going to buy your product or service, right?
That's true as well. Absolutely. That's a really good angle. Because they, I mean, people can tell you what they want, but they never know what they actually need. You know, it's a difference in that. Which
yes, is it is.
Right. Okay. So, excuse me one second.
Sure.
Let me just get down to this comment.
Okay.
Have a sip of water before I choke. I've still got this chesty cough going on, guys, so bear with me. I'm trying to hold it still. Okay, fine. The thing, hold this phone steady, all right. I'm trying my best, guys. Is that all right now? Oh, brilliant. Okay. Right, okay, TG, a couple more questions and then we'll wrap up. What about, okay, this is someone playing the devil's advocate, which is my job. I love that. They're saying, how do you know if someone's wasting your time on the phone? Which is a very interesting question. I mean, you probably get people rambling on, TG. I mean, we're entrepreneurs at the end of the day, we're business owners. Time is very hard, commodity, etc. You know, you have to bear that in mind. You don't want to spend 2 hours on a phone listening to someone's ramble, right? Being realistic, mm-hmm. You haven't got time for that. So how do you actually deal with that? I mean, someone start rambling and telling their life story. How do you control that?
Yeah, that is actually a talent that you have to develop, because really I don't like to cut people off, but I will look for when people have a break and then you want to start talking at that point, because I don't like cutting people off when they talk. So I will listen when I assume the first time I hear it, there's a break, then I'll interject a question. A lot of times, though, me personally, I don't really deal with that because when I speak to people, they made an investment. But the coaches that I work with, a lot of my sales team, they deal with that a lot. Well, I don't say a lot. They deal with it. So what I tell people is, you know, don't ever worry about convincing everyone that your product is service, because that's when you start sounding like the typical sales guy, right? Where you're going to be saying whatever you need to say, tell people to get them to buy your product or service. If you truly believe it, then you'll ask questions. I ask to give a lot of assignments and things for my prospective customers to do, and I'll see who actually spends the time to do it. And those, if you're not going to be serious enough, to do the things that I ask, and you don't have a legitimate reason, like, you know, obviously people have emergencies and things that come up, but if people just don't want to do it for whatever reason, that they don't want to do it, then yes, I'm not going to be spending as much time with those individuals. So, you know, feel free to ask them to do things, and if they're not going to do it, then, you know, they're most likely going to be wasting your time. So, again, that's about split testing, you know, just testing a few different things out. But I don't like to chase people. I don't like to convince them that what I have to offer, because if you do it properly, they'll see the value. And again, if you're getting too many of, I need to think about it, or, you know, whatever the excuse that they're giving you is, it's because you dropped the ball somewhere. So I always tell people to reevaluate, go back and see what you're doing on the front end of your presentation. Typically, you may be focusing on you more than them. And the more you focus on them, the questions that you ask, and finding out what their needs are before you, again, always find out what their needs are before you present, always. Yes. And when you do that, you're going to find your conversions are going to increase. Absolutely.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you, TG. Okay. And you're last welcome. Question, guys, I take it, cause it's hitting the 10 o'clock now. It's like, so I take a really good question here. Let me have a look if I can find it. Also, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for all your questions. Forgive me if I haven't been able to answer, but I'm sure the product that TG is going to present is going to have a lot of these answers that you're having here as questions. So, okay, this question, really good one. Okay, is there a difference between William, thank you, William Carter, for joining the class. He's asking, is there a difference between a 49 product phone sale and a 50K product phone sale? Does that make sense? I think I get what he's saying. Yeah.
Yeah, a $49, what I usually teach people is when people are investing big sums of money, not only do they really want to talk to a live person, but typically what I find is the more touches, and I call these touches, what I mean is the more contacts that you have with them, the easier it's going to be for them to make the decision. So usually when if it's a low-tier product, if it's whatever, $39, $49, $99, you can probably do it in maybe one, two, or three conversations. When I do my high ticket sales and I'm selling products and combination products of up to 50,000 plus, I actually spend more time with them. Okay. Right. So I'll have more touches, more contacts. So it really, I mean, it's just hard to give a cut and dry answer without knowing what the product or service is that you're promoting. If it's in the, you know, IM niche, if it's, you know, whatever it is, if it's a medical device, I mean, really, we need to find out. I'd have to find out more about specifically what the product service is. But what I found from my own personal sales is that the more times I can interact with that person, like giving them different things to research, to follow up on, to check, to get back with me on, they fill out a questionnaire. And the more they can get to know them, because really the reason you're touching them more is so they get to know you a little bit, you know. So they're, I mean, if you're looking just in the IM, internet marketing, or the network marketing niche, it's really so people can stay away from shiny object syndrome, you know, where they get distracted very easily. So I have a lot of the people I work with daily keep in touch with me every day, and sometimes 8 to 10 times before I'll be done selling a big ticket item. So again, it's all about testing. You need to test for whatever product you have. But typically, the more times you're gonna get a chance to interact with them and consecutively, you know, the business weekends. I mean, I'm sorry, the weekends. Most people are not going to do anything. But typically, on the business week, you really want to have contacts every day, and the more, the better. So you'll have to test, because there's going to be a time that, wait a second, is this too many? So I usually find, you know, 8 to 10 on the high side, and the low side anywhere from about 5 to 7. And that you'll have to test if your product or service.
Excellent, excellent. That's absolutely fabulous. Thank you guys so much for the questions. Guys and Minkat, thank you so much for retweeting this. Time for your bonus. You guys are awesome. They've done well. So we've got an incredible question for you, especially from TG. So TG, where can they get this bonus and what is it?
Yeah, what you can do is you go to I don't know if there's anywhere for me to type it on, you can type it, but it's just princess dot, and then my first name is TIJITHOMAS.com. So it's princess.tgthomas.com.
Right, okay, guys, I'll put it under the video as well, so you can actually see that. And there's also a course, guys, as well, that we want to give an opportunity for you to have. And everything that we've discussed in this class today, it goes into much more detail, so you can actually understand what sales is about. Can you just give us a few kind of topics of what they'll get in this actual course that you've developed?
Yeah, what it is it's going to go a little more into depth about each stage that I talk to you guys about. So if you want to, I mean, every presentation that I do, that I teach my students, it goes into connecting in discovering about your prospective client, and then you go into a presentation phase and then into a close. So it goes more in depth in each of those. It also talks about how to create value. I go into specific questions, do examples of what I mean by the questions that really get people emotionally involved to get that B is greater than P equals S in equation working on your behalf. I talk about dig questions, where you can actually ask questions to kind of dig a little bit deeper into people's situation. And you know, I don't have any problem with people thinking it's too personal. Again, most people want to talk about these things; they're just not asked these questions on a regular basis. So this is information that you're going to need to help you, but also that they're going to need help make the decision, because most people just don't realize that they're getting these. And the other thing is, and one of the main things that people love about the course is I actually spend time going over objections. Now, I don't get a lot of objections myself because of the way I do it, how long I've been doing this. Literally, when I'm done my presentation, people are just wanting to just wire money, or they're saying, listen, I don't have this money, but help me find it. I don't get a lot of, I want to think about it and, you know, this and that, but I've taken 10 objections that I've gotten from my students over time, like the money objection and, yes, you know, I need to talk to my spouse, or, you know, is this a scam? So a lot of things that a lot of times people will get when they're in the internet marketing, and just that itself is probably just, it's probably worth 10 times the value of the course. Yeah. So, really, it just goes more into depth. Again, it's very raw because it's unscripted. TJ and Chris Lakey is TJ's a partner, business partner. They both came up with questions just to ask me. Let me see if I could see. But that's really just the questions. Really, the questions to get people to open up to. You really, I spend a lot of time. Because, you know, in sales, you know that you have to ask questions. But if it's just about asking questions, we'd all be rich, right?
No, because, you know, it's intelligent questions, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, it's the right questions to ask, the right time to ask them. So it just really goes into depth. Most people that I bought the course have said that I should be charging more for it. So I've not raised the price yet. It's still the same price. I don't know if it's a clickable link on the PDF, but if they put that right into the browser, they should be able to get right to it. But it's just the course is No Pressure Sales System, and that's the website it's at too. It's just nopressuresalessystem.com.
Guys, there's a massive image just below the video. If you click yes, that, it'll lead straight to TG's course there. And TG also teaches you discipline as well as a salesperson. I mean, you know, how to kind of be as a person as well. You know, what kind of mentality you should have and what kind of posture you should keep and things like that. You know, how to keep level-headed, patient, etc.
Yes.
Yes.
Very important. Very important. Yeah, very important to take yourself out of the equation, yeah, really. I mean, that's another reason I decided to do this, because I do want to give sales a good name. A lot of times people think a lot of negative thoughts about sales, and it's such a, I mean, really drives the economy. I mean, without salespeople at every level, you know, the economy would go to pot. So, I take it very seriously.
It's amazing you say that, because, you know, I struggled with sales so many years, and I had my breakthrough last year where someone said to me, sales is actually a blessing. And if you've got something valuable that can actually solve a pain and frustration of someone and make their lives better in any way, you holding back is actually a curse upon you. It becomes a curse upon you because you're holding back knowledge or some sort of service.
Right.
Help them, you know. So I love that. So TG, I mean, you're a complete contradiction to what's taught out there, you know, aggressive sales person, get the sale, you know, kill someone if you need to get them to buy. You're completely timid, laid back kind of personality. So I'm really, really fascinated to learn more about your course and exactly how you do this and how you stay so calm in the process and completely contradict what's taught out in the market. So thank you so much for your time. I'm struggling because I'm about to cough and I'm holding it back.
Oh, no.
Thank you so
much. Well, thanks for having me. Thank you so much for having me. It's just been a lot of fun.
It's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much. Any final words for the audience before you go, Tiji? I have to bring you on the main show and you can share your dream and your whole journey there. But for now, is there any kind of change they can make right now?
Yeah, I was going to say, just start doing, just get out of your comfort zone. I always tell people about, there's a comfort zone a lot of times people don't like to get out of. The 1% rule really helps. I mean, if you feel like you know a little bit more than the next person, always in your mind know that you're an expert. And you just want to get out and just start talking to people. Get, because we just had a mastermind that I was away, and the lady said, I've never done a video. I'm scared of death of videos. And I told her, I want you to do at least 5 videos while we're here. And she was petrified. And I saw her just a few hours later. And she told me she had done 3 videos, and she was amazed. She says, oh, my gosh, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I did 1, and once I got the fear, I started doing 2. And then it was just so, it's just really getting out of that comfort zone. You don't know what you're capable of until you do that. And just do. So that's what I just say. Just do. Just start talking to people. Get, you know, get out of the comfort zone. And if you do the things that I lay out in the course, it should make things a lot easier, because it's very, very, it's very natural. It's just the way that people talk. It's not based on techniques. It's based on just having a good, solid foundation, good principles, good integrity, the things that, you know, that you really want to have. And you, yes, you know, if you're a consumer, you want to see those same things when you're approached by somebody selling. So my advice, just go out and just do something.
Excellent. I love that. And TJ, tell me, how does it feel when someone comes back to you and says, thank you for selling to me? Or well, thank you.
It's great.
I love it, right? It's a great feeling.
It is awesome. Yeah. I mean, I love it. I mean, I enjoy it, and I get to build good relationships, and I actually meet a lot of the people that I sell to with what I do, which I enjoy. Yes. I mean, I don't want to sell something then run off and hide. I want people to know that, you know, that they can see me again. So when I go to sleep at night, it's very peaceful. I don't have to worry about tossing and turning because I think I took advantage of someone. So it is a very rewarding feeling. Absolutely.
That's absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much, TJ. It's been an absolute honor to have you on the class and take our class today. And guys, thank you so much for joining me. Meerkat, guys, thank you so much. You hear all the coughs and everything. At least I can mute it on the live show, but these are there with me all the way through. So thank you, guys. Thank you on the website as well. Thank you, guys. And click the link below. I have a dream show. Meerkat, ihaveadreamshow.com/marketinguniversity. All the information's there. You can get the five tips bonus as well, and the course as well. So go ahead and do that. Guys, thank you so much. Reshare. If you think anyone's going to benefit from this class, reshare it, share the love, share the knowledge, and let's all grow together. Let's all, you know, reach the top together.
All right, awesome.
And
thank you.
And have an absolutely fabulous weekend. Thank you so much, TG, for your time.
You're welcome.
Have a wonderful week. Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Princess Fizz again. I hope you found this show extremely, extremely valuable. Do like and comment and leave a review for this show. And don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends, whoever it will benefit. Go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows if you want to watch the video recording of this show. And leave a comment, write to me. I'd love to hear from my listeners about any suggestions, any takeaways that you had, any suggestions for improvements, and make sure that you sign up to the newsletter as well so you don't miss another episode and you get notified by email. I love you loads. Dream big, chase those dreams, make them a reality so I can bring you onto the I Have a Dream show and share your unique journey with the world.